Joining us now, Eric Brancheck of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Eric, it took them a while, but they finally realized, oh, by the way, we have a run game in Aaron Jones. I can't figure out why in the second half or in the second quarter they decided to pull him out for an entire season and go with passing down the field to stall their own offense. But other than that, what did you see yesterday?
Well, we all want to get excited, and because they busted out some runs. But I want everyone to be tempered here just a little bit. Reality is you're facing the 31st run defense in the league. Okay, they got a bunch of defensive tackles that don't move very well, and their linebackers, although they can run in the passing game, aren't very physical in the run game. So that that opened this up. Going into this game, you knew they had to run the ball because these guys are not very good at defending it. So it wasn't like they, lined up against the Vikings and pounded it down there on them or the Bears. You know, this defense they played was not very good against the run. And, I got a good friend down in Atlanta that was excited about these guys coming up here and playing. And they just, the reality is they didn't have a good quarterback, and they had a bad rushing defense. So it all added up well. And quite frankly, if they had a real quarterback, this could have been a different ball game. I mean, there's too many errors from the quarterback position in Miami that turned this game around, and because there was a lot of dumb mistakes that happened for the Packers that set this team up. But the problem is they don't have a quarterback that could do anything. So this is you got the result. So as exciting as we all can be about the run game, let's just make sure we temper this a little bit and understand that they're playing a bad rushing defense, and this is what they should have done against a bad rushing defense.
What do you make of the defensive side of things, holding a team to 12 when they did have some short fields? And granted, there was a couple of self-inflicted mistakes, but for the most part, the defense held steady.
Yeah, it certainly did bad. First of all, you got a quarterback that can't catch a snap behind center on that opening drive. And that opening drive, I mean, you were there. I was sitting in my chair going, this is not good. This is going to turn out really bad. And, of course, their quarterback can't catch a snap. So then, Packers get a break there and get that one. The block punt against the normal team that has a good quarterback, they probably score there. So now they're in a dogfight. The quarterback, he couldn't make too many throws yesterday. So, you don't want to get excited and you want to get all that. But the reality is, if you boil it all down and just look at football and take the emotion out of it, they had a bad quarterback. And that's what they did. Is what they should have done. They should have beaten a team with a bad quarterback and run the ball against a defense that can't stop it.
So Aaron Rodgers, there's been a lot of discussion about how he just kind of looks off. Give me your thoughts on him right now.
Yeah, there's definitely some questions there about what's going on. And I've thought about it an awful lot this past week, and I watched some tape and watched a lot of video in the evenings and was thinking, there's still the human element of playing football. These guys aren't robots. He just got a big, giant contract. He's, in comparison, people are calling him the greatest quarterback ever, right? And he's got the weight of the franchise on his shoulders. So sometimes that's a lot for any human being, Aaron Rodgers or you or myself, to have to handle. And it looks to me like there's just so much pressure on him that it's making his decisions. He's second-guessing some of the decisions. And I think some of the throws, could be some of the knee. I know the MCL ligament might certainly be healed at this point, but there's certainly probably some bone bruising and some of that that goes on there. That's some residual soreness, and that's why he's not stepping into some of the throws. And looks kind of off on the deep stuff. But the accuracy isn't there, and certainly just the expressions, the body language looks like he's under an immense amount of pressure. And, for him to be successful, you just got to play. Just wing it and have fun.
The play calling is an area that a lot of people are screaming about, predictability and such. And I went through the numbers. Look, they don't run the ball on third and fourth down. As a matter of fact, when they do, they run it very poorly. Give me your thoughts on the way this team is kind of set. I think at times they've set themselves up for failure. You're running the ball extremely well, and all of a sudden Devonta Adams is in the backfield. You are running the ball extremely well, and all of a sudden it's Jamal Williams that's in the backfield. Or you're running the ball well. Aaron Rodgers is under center. You're keeping the safeties honest. You're moving the linebackers up in the box. And all of a sudden, he's in the shotgun, and you've got the running back ahead of him. It seems like they're their own worst enemy more often than not.
Well, I think, you know, I look at it as sometimes there are some decisions yesterday. I'll give you an example in the first quarter, their second series or first series. You know, Aaron Rodgers runs for 7 yards on first down. Well, he had two guys open in the flat, one on each side. He didn't throw it. I don't know why. Say it's bad play calling? Mm-hmm. I don't know. There was guys that were just wide open. He was looking for something downfield. And, you know, to me, bad play calling, it could be. But what I got out of yesterday's game was at least there was some flow. There was, you know, what I consider flow is, okay, so they run a toss. And then they run play action off that toss action the next play. That's, to me, is the flow, because now I'm making safeties and I'm making linebackers think, and that's when usually they make bad decisions and things happen you can take advantage of. So I think that's, you know, I don't know if the play calling was terrible. Listen, no running back in the NFL plays every single down. It just doesn't happen. Even the great Todd Gurley takes a series off or two. You know, they take guys out of the game on occasion to give them a breather and make sure that they're not, you know, also give the defense something else to think about. Because if another running back's in there, they do something different. Now I have to adjust, or they're going to run stuff that I'm not ready for. So, you know, for anyone to say, well, they took Aaron Jones out of the ballgame for an entire series, good. I mean, that's what you should do. I mean, you can't run that guy. If you run that guy 25 times a game, I think you're going to be asking for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
He's good at what he does. What makes him a great running back is his vision. He's got a little burst, no doubt. But if you watch Jamal Williams and if you watch Aaron Jones, you'll see the difference. It's the ability to see the blocks and being able to see how, like, for instance, there was a player they were running. It was a toss. And he started running, you know, a complete toss, like an old high school, college toss. They toss him the ball. He cuts it all the way back to the opposite A-gap because that's where the hole was. He saw that, where if you saw Jamal Williams in a couple of his carries, he just runs to where they're supposed to go. Yet, if he would have slowed down and seen what was happening one gap over, that's where the hole ended up developing. So, you know, there's a lot of things that go into being a really good running back, having speed and all that kind of stuff. But the vision of Aaron Jones is what I think sets him apart.
Hey, real quick before I let you go, Jimmy Graham. Right now, nowhere to be found. Give me your thoughts.
Oh, I think we talked about this already, didn't we?
A little bit.
I think he just, you know what? When the Packers' offense was really, really good, they had a stable of receivers that ran tremendous routes and were really fast. Okay, so you look back at when the offense was spectacular, you had Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, Randall Cobb, and Finley as a tight end. All those guys can run, and they can all run good routes. And, oh, by the way, you had a number four receiver in Donald Driver. That was a pretty good four receiver. And he made a lot of catches because he's going up against the fourth best D-back, right? So mm-hmm. his career, especially at the end when he was still carrying on, was primarily made up because he was against their fourth best cover guy. So, you know, he runs good routes. So what the Packers have right now is one guy who runs amazing routes, and they have a couple of young guys who are learning how to run good routes and certainly are improving. MVS ran routes yesterday. That was fantastic. So did St. Brown. There was one pass where the ball was out of the quarterback's hand before he even turned his head to look for it. That's good route running. That's fantastic. It's just not enough, and they don't have a tight end that can run. So to talk about, you know, how Jimmy Graham works into what I was just babbling about for the last 2 minutes is that I don't think he can run like he used to. And certainly some of his athletic skills have diminished, that going up and getting those high balls and having to turn around in midair and do all those things just aren't what he used to be. And unfortunately, that's kind of what the Packers are missing. They're missing that guy that can, in the middle part of the field, that can run.
Good stuff as always, my friend. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, take care.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. That's Eric Branchick of the Green Bay Press Gazette joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. They've been doing it for a long, long time. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to Schneider.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.